Well, good morning. Let's begin in Habakkuk chapter 3 with the text that Brother Ramsey read for us as we began our worship together. Habakkuk chapter 3. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. As we think about this hymn of faith this morning, I want us to think about how we got to Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17, 18, and 19. Habakkuk begins in chapter 1 in an unusual way. The prophet is not being called by God to take the word of the Lord to the people. Rather, the prophet takes what is on his heart to the Lord. And as we consider what Habakkuk says to God in verses 2 through 4, what we see is that Habakkuk's experience at this time is just like our experience in our time. We have questions. We look around at the world in which we live, and we consider God, and we consider His Word and His will for our lives and the lives of other people, and we don't understand. And so we ask, why? And so God responds to him beginning in verse 5, and he essentially says to him, in my words, you ain't seen nothing yet. I am going to raise up the Chaldeans, and the Chaldeans are going to do my will, but they're not going to do my will to my glory. Rather, verse 11, they're going to give all praise and glory and honor to their God when they have finished my work. And so Habakkuk considers God's answer, and he begins responding to it in verse 12. And he says, I don't know how to harmonize what you just told me in verses 5 through 11 with what I already know about you. And what I already know about you is that you're from everlasting. You are God. You are holy. And what I know about us is that we are your people. And so because of what I know about you and what I know about me and what I know about our relationship, I'm just going to flat out say this to you in response. We shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O Rock, you have marked them for correction. For the month of October, we're considering, know the Lord who chastens. He instructs, He corrects, He disciplines, He trains. But He also punishes. O Rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? Habakkuk not only knew God, and he not only knew who he was in relationship to God, but he also knew something about the Chaldeans. And what he knew about the Chaldeans, while this is factually true, we all do this. We all look at other people and think, well, I'm glad I'm not like them. They're much worse than me. Their sins are much more serious than mine. Their thoughts and their speech and their behavior, it's much worse than my behavior and my family's behavior and my friends' behavior and my community's behavior. I don't understand how you can say to me that you're going to use them when you're of purer eyes than to even look upon them. Why do you make men like fish of the sea, verse 14, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net. They gather them in their dragnet. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their dragnet. because by them their share is sumptuous and their food plentiful. Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? I cannot believe that you're going to consider what they've done in the past and that in the future you are going to use them to discipline us. And so, chapter 2, verse 1, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. For those of us, and I believe that the vast majority of this assembly this morning would stand with me on this one. For the majority of us who have thought to ourselves, I'd like to have an audience with God. I'd like to talk to Him about what's on my heart. And I'd like to talk to Him about these things that I don't understand. And I'd like to ask Him some pointed questions that are going to end. Every one of them is going to end in why. Habakkuk got to do that. And I don't think I speak for myself when I say that the questions that I'd like to ask God, I sort of have framed out the answers in my own heart. What I want them to be. What I want Him to say. The tone I want Him to use, right? Verses 2 and 3 take my breath away. When he actually begins to speak after he braces Habakkuk, he talks about the proud. We're going to think more about that next week when we talk about the fundamental problem of these people as it pertains to know the Lord who chastens. Pride. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. So then he goes on in verses 5 through 19 to describe the Babylonians and how he understands better than Habakkuk who they are. And he further reveals to Habakkuk, yeah, I know who they are, and I'm going to use them. And here's the conclusion of the whole matter, as far as your little questions and my answers. I am in my holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before me. Now, in my experience as a Christian, being around God's people, in my experience, we love Habakkuk 2:20. We take Habakkuk 2:20 out of its context and we put it on posters and we cross-stitch it and we hide it in our hearts and we use that verse to, you know, speak to people about how they need to get right with God. And the point of this verse in its context is that the people of God need to get right with God. Habakkuk needed to get right with God. Habakkuk needed to remember who God is. And where God is. And Habakkuk needed to remember that all these limitations that Habakkuk had that you and I have, they don't apply to God. He's above it all. He sees it all and He knows it all. I don't know how I would have reacted had I been Habakkuk. When I was selling pharmaceuticals, we did a lot of role-playing, and that's basically all of our training is just role-playing all the time. And as I role-play this out, you know, if I'm Habakkuk, right, and I don't know that I say what Habakkuk says next. When I consider what Habakkuk says in chapter 3, as a result of these two conversations with God, it just enhances it so much in my thinking. I mean, my heart just swells thinking about this is not a conversation in which you have somebody who is in a position of authority, in a position of power, in a position of means, and you're going to them and you have an outcome in mind. And after the conversation, you have achieved your objectives. This could not have been what Habakkuk wanted to hear. And I take you back to chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. What he's saying to him about what is going to happen, it's not happening today. It's not even happening tomorrow. I wouldn't look for it next week. I wouldn't even necessarily look for it next month. But I want you to remember this. Just because it doesn't happen today or tomorrow or next week or next month, do not be deceived. It's coming. And when it comes, it will not tarry. And against the backdrop of that, Habakkuk writes these words beginning in verse 2. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known in wrath, remember mercy. In verses 3 through 16, he just paints this beautiful picture of God in His glory and in His power. And his conclusion to all of this in verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. In this beautiful language, Habakkuk is essentially saying, when all means and resources of food, when every avenue of food is gone, and that is exactly what happened between 588 and 586 when the Babylonians laid siege to Jerusalem. There was no food left. 2 Kings 24, 2 Chronicles 36, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations, Lamentations